Okay, thank you for having us this morning. You know what? I told Tiffany, because Tiffany told me that my pastor is announcing every week that you are coming and that you are this and that. And then I told Tiffany, oh, Tiffany, I'm getting scared. But anyway, I know the Lord is here. And I thank God for this privilege. This is your 100th day of fasting. This is your last day of fasting for 100 days. And I praise God we are here. The presence of God is so strong in this place, and I believe God is about to do something in our midst. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray. Father, we come to you. Lord, we don't have anything to be proud of, for we are nothing. We are eternally grateful, O God, that you have thought of us when you created the whole universe. If not, where we are right now. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, that this is your appointed time for us. The right people, the right time, and the right day. Lord, you know the cry of the hearts of your people, O God. They have fasted for 100 days, and nothing is impossible with you. I pray that you would open our hearts, open our spirits, that we may be able to hear and also to see what the Spirit is trying to show us. Lord, be magnified, be glorified in this place. Fill this place with your glory. Only you be seen, only you be exalted. Hide me behind the cross, for I am nothing. So glorify your Son. In Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody will say, amen, amen and amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, today I want to speak on the subject, the revival that is to come. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, it says, then we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us. It says, he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter rain, and former rain unto the earth. Now we jump to Zechariah 10:1. It says, ask, we need to ask, okay? Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. I know within this 100 days, we are asking for God's rain. Are you?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Now in Joel chapter 2, verse 23, it says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. Now we jump to verse 28. And he said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And then we jump on verse 29. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, what do these verses reveal to us? It reveals the latter rain. Many Christians are praying and crying for the latter rain. the revival, the end time revival, that the latter rain will come upon them and will be poured out in their midst. Now, how does the latter rain relate to the moving of God's Holy Spirit in the last days, in our time, in this generation, the latter rain revival? Do you know in Pentecost, God has poured out His Spirit just like the rain? And we can find this in the book of Joel, what we have just read, and also in the book of Acts, which says, I will pour out my Spirit. When God says it, it will happen. But we need to prepare our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this outpouring is synonymous to the rain cycle of the nation of Israel. First, they will have what they call the former rain, or the seed rain, or the planting rain. Then they will have drought for 6 months. And during these times, they only plant vegetables. Although they have drought, their vegetables stay fresh because of the thick dew during nighttime. And this will go on for months, for 6 months. But no rain will fall upon the dry ground. So after the 6 months, the ground has stayed so dry and so hard. They have to follow and to plow it to make it ready for planting. Because on the month of September to October is what they call the seed or planting rain, or what we call the former rain. Now, beginning the month of September to October, up to the end of February or March, they will have sporadic rain to different parts of the land. But the heavy rain will come by the end of February and by the start of the month of March. This heavy rain or latter rain is for the harvest. Are you catching up with me? Okay. This is the rain cycle of the nation of Israel. First, the former seed or planting rain, then the heavy or latter rain in the spring. So this is also what we have in the church history today. We can find in the book of Acts and in the prophecy of the book of Joel 2:28, it says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And this prophecy started in the book of Acts. This is the former rain. It started in the book of Acts. But I want you to notice from the book of Acts, these things, these revivals are mounting up in intensities. Okay? They're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. From the wealth cycle, okay, from the cycle of the wealth revival, Azusa Street revival. Have you heard about the wealth revival?
Yes.
Have you heard about the Azusa Street revival? Oh my, there is such a tremendous street thing that happened in Azusa Street. This man, without any hand, approached Pastor Seymour, and then he said, what do you want me to pay for you? He said, I don't have any arm. One arm, he said. And then he started praying for him right before the eyes of the people. From this part down to the fingers, it grew bones, muscles, and skin. Grew bones, muscles, and skin up to the fingers. And that is creative miracle. They call that creative miracle. Can I ask Sister Nenita to stand, please? Sister Nenita, okay? I think that was 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. 5 years ago, after preaching in a church, after the preaching in that revival conference in one church in San Jose, she approached me. I'm done with my sermon. I'm about to go down the stage. And then she approached me. And she said, Pastora, my left ear doesn't have any ear hole. I was born with that. I cannot hear, she said. And then, you know what? I said to the Lord, oh Lord, Karina is dead now. And then the Lord told me, okay, cover the right ear. So I did. And then he said, it's not just twice. And then I did, look. It's not even, you know, I did that too. And then she began to say, I can hear. I can hear. And then the pastor, looked at her ear, and then he said, my God, we just have a creative healing today. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Anita. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Now she can hear, okay? Now, from that cycle of the Welsh revival, Associate Street revival, so on and on, there was once a revival that happened in Indonesia, in Nagaland. I think this was way back late 70s to the 80s, okay? Or maybe we haven't heard much about these revivals. But there was such a revival that happened in Indonesia. Just like a strong wind that hit these Christians. They stayed for how many days in the presence of God, praising and worshiping God. They did not go home. And they were wondering every morning their clothes smelled good as if they were newly washed and ironed. And during the night time, the Holy Spirit has been their light. Not only that, their water turned into wine. They could walk above the water going from one island to the other. And the result of that revival is that 80% of the people in Nagaland became Christians. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So those are the revivals that are mounting up in intensities. Okay? Those were in the past. So what do you think in the last generation, our generation, what will happen? Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Amen! Do you know what? Why we don't see this in this nation? This nation, America, started a godly nation. But, you know, now it's because of pride. They lost their focus on God. Men are educated. Education pops up the minds of people. Many people today know so much. All is centered in human knowledge, human power, trusting their human capabilities instead of trusting God. That is why the Lord is saying, you're too smart. You're so happy with yourself. You love yourself so much. That is why for a while, I'm going to pour out my spirit in that little village in India. Do you know Wycliffe, the Bible translator? Isn't it we have Wycliffe Bible? Okay. One of the most famous Bible translators has reported an amazing thing that happened into that little forest in India. He was staying inside that forest to translate the Bible in the dialect of those tribes living inside that little forest in India. One day he has to go. He has to leave for 2 weeks. So he asked these two Indians whom he trusted to take over and to look over these tribes while he is away. But when he arrived after 2 weeks, he saw these two Indians are very happy and are very excited and are full of God's glory. And he asked them, what happened? Why are you so happy? And they said to Wycliffe, while you are away, a stranger came into the village and he shared the gospel to those Christians, and these Christians received such tremendous revelations and anointing, and there were such a great outpouring of revival that happened. And when this stranger was about to leave the forest, these two Indians came after him and asked him his name. Imagine, this stranger has been with them for 2 weeks. They forgot to ask him his name. So after 2 weeks, they run after him and said, "Sir, what is your name?" And he answered, "I am the angel Gabriel, the angel of the Lord." Are you thinking in your mind, will that happen? Yes, it will. And it is happening right now. Do you know that these two Indians do not even know the angel Gabriel? Yes. We opened a small Bible school in our church in the Philippines. And one night while I'm teaching, one of the students is a mother, so she brought her child, about 8 years old, daughter with her. So while I'm teaching, I saw Angel Gabriel standing here on my right. So, and then in the middle of the discussion, this little girl approached me. And she said, "Pastora, I saw an angel beside you." "Yes, I know," I said. And then I asked him his name. "I know him," he said. I told her, "What did he tell you?" He said, "He's Angel Gabriel." See, revival intensities are mounting up. One time we stayed overnight in prayer in our church. Okay, our church is located in a subdivision, okay, residential area, the first church, when we were just starting. So we stayed overnight prayer. I think we end up early morning, and then there's a commotion outside. People are running in the middle of the night. And then I said, wait, what happened? Why are you all on the street? Didn't you see it?" And then I said, "What? While you are praying and singing." You know, I didn't realize our neighbors are awake, okay? "While you are praying and singing, we saw a huge angel on the rooftop of the building of your church," they said. "And then after you prayed and sang songs, the angel flew up high, so we went out to run after the angel," they said. Imagine, these things are happening. Amen. And that thing happened way back in the 90s, okay? And then we moved into another place, built our church. We are leasing the land. We don't have our own land and our own building yet. So we built a small church. And in that, this was before the eruption of Mount Pinatubo. Have you heard about Mount Pinatubo? Okay, well, anyway, so we were singing on a Sunday service. And I just saw that the stage is fully packed with angels. And then I look around, the church is fully packed with angels. I thought I was the only one that saw that. 12 of us, so all these angels. And then on the part of praise and worship, you know what happened? The angels sang with us. Their voice came out of the sound system. Their voice is so high, but they do not hurt your ear. They have beautiful voice. And then I look at the worship team, and then they said, "It's not us." And then I am at the, what do you call this? I am at the back. I have a mic. I am also singing with them. And then they look at me, and then I said, "It's not me." So it's the angels. And then we start singing. They continued singing. And little did we know why God did that, because the next week, Mount Pinatubo will erupt. And the eruption took away all, everything, our church away. And the next day, my husband and I went back to that place. We're trying to dig and retrieve what we can retrieve. We cannot retrieve anything. And the Lord spoke to my husband. He said, "This sanctuary has been destroyed. But I have in you a sanctuary that will never be destroyed.
Amen.
Because I am in you. Hello? Hello? So, a lot more, okay? I cannot say a lot more. Just this last one and then I'll stop. Because there's a lot more things that happen. So, one of our members, an old woman, was rushed to the hospital. And then they said she has to have a surgery, heart surgery, the next day. So we went that day, and while my husband is praying for her, I saw an angel on this side. Okay, I was standing here, and the angel is holding a silver tray with a live organ heart. Okay, pumping like this. And then I look at this angel, and then he said, take this heart and then place it on her chest. So I did, okay? I took the heart and placed it on her chest. And the one who is seeing me is the person who is sick, this old woman. So she's looking at me, and the moment I placed that heart on her chest, she breathed that long and then, okay? I thought she's going to die. And then after that, she took away the oxygen.
Amen.
And you know what happened?
No surgery.
And then they let her go home. Amen. And the doctor said, I don't know what happened to you, but you have a brand new heart.
Amen.
So the intensity is increasing. Revival intensity is increasing. We do not hear much about revivals. Do you know what is this? It is the rain. Do you know that the rain is mounting? And this is Pentecost. And this is the feast of Pentecost. And in the feast of Pentecost, they have two wave loaves. If there is only one wave loaf, we don't have any more problem. But we do not have one loaf. In the feast of Pentecost, they have two. What does that mean? It means when the outpouring of God's Spirit would come, it would be double, okay? But in the last days, not only double, it will be multiple. It will be an Elisha portion that is coming. It is like John the Baptist that said, prepare ye the way. Remember, Elijah, it says in the word, is John the Baptist multiplied by two. So Elisha, okay, it's an Elisha portion, a double portion. But that is during the time of John the Baptist, okay? But in the last days, John the Baptist will be multiplied by two. Hello? So we are heading for the double portion of Elisha. Hallelujah. Amen. We are heading for the most remarkable outpouring of God's Spirit. It belongs to this generation and this dispensation. And it will come. And it will happen.
Amen.
And God is preparing us for that time. In my opinion, it will come in our country in the midst of trouble, darkness, sin, and confusion.
Yes.
We are at the darkest days of our lives. What we are experiencing right now, pandemic, lockdown, wars going on around us, and more rumors of wars, scarcity, economic crisis, economic fall down. But I tell you in the name of Jesus, revival and awakening will be happening at the same time. Now there's something else that is going on. Pentecost doesn't do it. Because it comes from the flesh. The flesh is the one who comes first. So what happened? You got a lot of errors. That's why in the history of Christianity, there have been a lot of errors. What you get is self-aggrandizement. Somebody's being used by God, then everybody looks at him, exalts him, then they get all excited. Then the people will begin to worship the man, and the man likes it, and the man begins to worship himself. And this is the history of Pentecost. in the 20th century. All kinds of problems with the flesh. What is happening? People get saved. People get healed. The mighty gifts of the Holy Spirit. People in the early church talk in languages or speaking in languages they have never learned. In Pentecost revival, in most instances like this is happening. People speak in Hebrew, French, Chinese, Latin, etc. Even though they didn't study these languages, but they understand them. And this is the characteristics of the early outpouring. And yet, the flesh came in. That's why we had a lot of trouble in the past. Are you hearing me, saints? You know, way back in the 90s, in our city in the Philippines, a Filipina got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And instantly she spoke in Chinese. Yeah. And then after a few months, she went to China as a missionary. Yeah. Just in our church, the Philippines have about more than 80 languages, okay? That's why we don't even know those languages, okay? I only know, I think, two of those languages, our main and then our language. So we have a pastor in our church, and we have like a son that grew from us. We call him Choki, okay? Well, anyway, he speaks what we call Bisaya, and we don't even speak Bisaya. So one time they're praying together with our pastor in the church, and the pastor starts speaking in tongues, and Choki said, "Pastor, I understand every word you said." "What?" he said. "I'm just speaking in tongues." "No, you are speaking Bisaya." So all these gifts are wonderful, isn't it? But it doesn't bring about what God wants. What does God want? And this is not happening in our midst. Do you know why? Because the church, the body of Christ, is so sick. Just like what is written in the book of Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones. Do you know who these dry bones are? It's the church today. When I say the church, the whole body of Christ. It's so dead, it's so weak, it's so sick and so dry. Dry bones symbolizes the church at its lowest state. It symbolizes the church at its driest state. It symbolizes the church at its sinful state. That being a Christian today is just a status quo. Sin is being compromised. There is immorality, perversion in the church. Sin is being exposed and they don't even care. They are not even ashamed of it anymore. Leaders are falling. Pastors against pastors. Denominations against denominations. Christians against Christians. Yeah. There is envy, strife, competition, hatred, unforgiveness, manipulation, greed, politics in the church. And still they just don't care. No convictions at all. They are even so proud, proving they are right and the other party is wrong. There's sin in the count. Isn't it this is what we see in the church today? Isn't it this is the situation of the church today? I tell you in the name of Jesus, we need revival now. We need an awakening now. In the church, in the body of Christ. Come on, say amen. Amen. The need for revival is now. The time for awakening is now.
Amen.
We need it now in the name of Jesus. But this revival that is to come. Okay. Revival that is to come. That's the title of this sermon. Is not a man-made revival. It is a revival that is to come through the direction of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. It's not a revival that will come through spotlights, big spotlights, with great advertisements, announcements, and publications, or through great evangelist preachers with limousines or media. No! This revival that is to come is mightier than all the revivals that we have read, heard, or seen in the past. A revival we have never seen before. A revival increasing in intensity. A revival that symbolizes the power of the two witnesses. A double, a multiple portion. It is John the Baptist. It is Elijah multiplied by two. It is Elisha's spirit multiplied by two. A triple portion. Remember Elijah in the Old Testament, his anointing was transferred to Elisha in a double portion. And then in the New Testament, it is said that John the Baptist comes in the spirit of Elisha. So John the Baptist is Elijah multiplied by two. So we are heading for the most remarkable outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in our days, in our time, in our generation. I need to awaken you to believe this. I need to awaken you to realize this. Don't say, I am nothing. Oh, Lord God, how can you use me? I am this and that and that and this. No. No. Just come to the Lord. Just love Him. Love Him. Love Him until He possessed you. Totally possessed. Come to Him with fervent heart. Come to Him without any agenda. Come to Him as you are. Tell everything to Him. If you failed, if you sinned, tell Him how you hate that sin. How you abhor to hurt Him. That you don't want to hurt Him. I can tell Him, the Lord, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. Because every time we sin, we hurt Him. Then walk with Him. Make Him your integral partner every day. Talk to Him. I told you, within this week, oh God, I'm so nervous. I'm getting scared speaking in that church. Because they have high expectations, I said. And I've heard they have fasted 100 years. And on Sunday, it's their 100th day. Can you help me? I told Him, oh Lord, possess me totally. While we are singing, I told Him, let the heartbeat of your heart beat in my heart.
Yes.
While I'm preaching, do your thing, none of me. This is what God wants. And you know what? Perfect love will cast out fear.
Amen.
Because you know the greatest power on earth is the love of God.
Amen.
Faith, hope, and love, He said. But the greatest of this is my love. Who can go against the love of God? Somebody slap you here, give the other cheek. And then He slaps you again, give the other one. Until you will have natural blossom.
Amen.
Do you think He will not stop? He will. As you project that love of God, no one can go against you.
Amen.
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 So we are heading for the most remarkable days. Remarkable outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in our days, in our time, in our generation. I tell you, it's a bombshell. It's an atomic bomb. It's a nuclear bomb. Hallelujah. It will just explode. Woo! Hallelujah. It's the rain in the time of the latter rain. A revival with signs and wonders, miracles and healing. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Woo! Hallelujah. When you walk and flow in the love of God, who can go against you? until you become love. Until you become love. You know what, in the church, okay? There are people, you know, sometimes they cause trouble. And some of our pastors, they will say, oh, Pastor, so-and-so is like this. It's okay. They will change anyway.
Amen.
Just keep loving them. And then they would approach me again, so-and-so. Then I told them, you know what? We are complaining here that we will become love. So please, stop talking negative.
Yes.
And then if you are being, you know, annoyed with somebody, just say, I love you so much, you know that. Instead of saying, I'm being annoyed by you. And if you are getting discouraged, say, oh, I'm so happy, Lord. You know, there's power in declaration, I tell you.
Amen.
Don't declare the negative, okay? It will push you down.
Yes.
It will push you down. So declare what is in the Word. Amen. Okay, so we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't heard anything yet. It never entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those who loved Him. We haven't seen anything yet. This revival, it is so strong in intensity because all that is being exalted is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. People are in sackcloth. What does that mean? Which symbolizes repentance, humility, and brokenness. You are always willing to walk another mile for another. Amen.
Amen.
You will not complain. Even if you did all the work, then don't complain. Just do it with the love of God, with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is full of glory.
Amen.
Imagine, if you're not complaining, you will be filled with the joy of the Lord. And not only that, full of His glory. In the old days, when kings want to pray, they fast and repent. They are wearing sackcloth, which symbolizes they are in prayer, fasting, repentance, humility, and brokenness. So we are having a day of sackcloth revival fire.
Amen.
Fire. A revival that will not come out of great leaders with great accomplishments that made themselves centered and made themselves little gods. But this revival will come out of people, small people not known. That will come out of the blue. People who have lost everything just to gain Christ. People who do not even care of themselves. All they care is Jesus. These are people who have been broken, humbled, who have spent much time in prayer and in seeking, thirsting, and hungering after God, after Messiah Jesus. Do you know what attracts God to come? It's brokenness and hunger and love. If you hunger, you cannot hunger for God without loving Him first. Amen. And if you are hungry for God, you cannot be hungry for God and just love God without brokenness. Because brokenness attracts God to come. Why? Because when you are broken, you will not hide anything from the Lord. You tell Him everything.
Yes.
I did this and that. I manipulated this and that. I'm sorry, Lord. Please kill this thing in me. I abhor it. I hate it. Men and women have separated themselves from the world. Who did not love the world? They are in sackcloth. They are in repentance, humility, and brokenness. These are people who have stayed in not loving themselves and the world, but have paid a great price just to win the approval of God and not the approval of men. We are surpassing the day of Pentecost into a new day. The sackcloth revival fire. This is not the name of a revival. It is a move of God.
Amen.
using these men and women. These are people who have nothing left in them but Christ and Christ alone. You don't even care to lose everything.
Amen.
Just being Christ. Hello?
Amen.
You are so quiet. Before we got saved, we are very much involved in business. I'm only a teenager when I started my business in Hong Kong. I would go to Hong Kong and speak to high wealthy people there, and then have meeting in the lobby of the hotel. I'm just young, 18. Then I told them I want this and that and that and that. And then they would say, oh, Corina. They call me Corina in Hong Kong. Okay, if you will not agree, Corina will make no business. I go, no, they say. So we will discuss our shipments going to the Philippines. I was very young. Even in high school, I already have my business because our parents are both business people. They taught how to do business. And yet we got saved. After 3 months of being saved, God spoke to my husband, because when we got saved, after 1 week, God showed a vision to my husband. And he showed him, to make the long story short, that we will still have 2 more girls. And he already sold our daughters in heaven before they were born. But anyway, after 3 months of being saved, the Lord spoke again to my husband about the rich young ruler. Go sell everything you have and give them to the poor. To make the long story short, we did that one.
Amen.
We left nothing. All my signature clothes, all my signature bags or whatever, everything, we gave them to the poor. To the poor of the poorest, so that they would enjoy the signature things. Okay? And then we end up just having shirts, jeans, and sneakers, rubber shoes. And we rented a small apartment, 1-bedroom apartment. And then our parents, both of our parents, disowned us for 8 years. My mother-in-law published us twice in the newspaper because they are, they know them in the Philippines. They're affluent. But anyway, these are people who have nothing left in them but Christ and Christ alone. What a wonderful inheritance. And that started a journey when we left everything. A journey. A wonderful journey of experiencing God every day. They have no love for self-centeredness or self-interest. All that is left in them is their love for Christ. What a wonderful inheritance. Hello?
Amen.
The image and union of Christ transformed in them through repentance, humility, brokenness, and the dealing of God, even unto death. Hallelujah. In Revelation 12:1, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by not loving themselves unto death. All that is in them is Messiah Jesus. That is why this revival fire will not come under the direction of any man. It will come under the mighty direction of the Holy Spirit of God, using these men and women who have lost everything just to gain Christ. But I'm not telling you to do what we did. Okay? This is our calling. Okay? You have a different calling. Okay? Even in these last days, God will use the Joseph ministry. The rich people, okay? God will touch them to be used for this revival, okay? But this is my story. It's not your story. Amen.
Amen.
Okay? They lost everything just to gain Christ. They are not well known. They have nothing to be proud of. But what they only have and desire about anything else in this world is Messiah Jesus. The Lord Jesus himself. There's something very powerful and awesome going into the world today. And God is at work doing something hidden and quiet. It is supernatural. It is beyond human comprehension. Yet what he's doing right now is going to affect the whole world in this last days. God is preparing right now a small but powerful army of Christians. This army is going to be the most dedicated in the face of the earth. And the Lord will come forth and command them to do exploits and shake the earth and even hell. In Daniel 11:32 it says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Okay? What is the thing that this word said? But the people that do know. We must know him. Okay? We must know him intimately. We must know him personally. We must know his heartbeat. We must hear his voice. We must know what he desires. Amen. We must know what makes him happy. We must walk as close as ever to the Lord. And then it says they will do exploits. What? With signs and wonders, miracles and healings. He's going to close all out the ages with pure, devoted, fearless, repentant, broken, humble, powerful remnant full of glory of God. All my life, I have heard and read stories about our godly fathers who hated and who deeply loved the Lord and his holiness. These are men and women who spent hours and even days in prayer and fasting. They are trained in prayer and seeking and in soaking and waiting and hungering by the Holy Spirit. This is what Dr. Bruce Allen is telling us. We need to learn to wait on God. Try it, saints. Try it. Don't stop. It may take months before God will open your eyes. Sometimes it only takes a while. Sometimes it will take days or weeks. But God will open those as you wait. It happened to us. It happened to some people in Cupertino. They are shut in with God. You know what is being shut in with God? You just stayed quietly and then draw deeply within your spirit and shut in with God and wait and listen to him. This thing about waiting, you can learn this from Madame Guyon, whom God has used in the 16th century. They are shut in with him, preparing their hearts before him, learning to hear his voice. They know God's voice. They prayed unceasingly. They had the power and ability to successfully stand up against immorality in their day. These forefathers have long since passed, but God is in the process right now of raising up another generation. Can I see the young people here? Can you raise your hands, please? Up high. I want to see them. Up high. Okay. Same part. Okay. You know what, young people? You will see in these coming days, it will be a revival of grace. I know you are attending church. I know you love God. But when that revival will come, you will just be surprised. When you pray for somebody, instantly that somebody will be healed. Wow. Yeah. And then when you see that manifestation of God that he has done in your life, you will be aware that through all the years, even along your walk with the Lord, God has never left you. And that thing will cause you to hunger for more of him and to serve him more. It happened to my granddaughter, 8 years old. We are visiting a doctor and this doctor told me, "Pastora, can you pray for my knee? It's really in pain." Instantly, my granddaughter ran to this doctor and lay her hands to the knees of this doctor, and instantly he got healed. Okay? Only this time, his warriors will not be made up of only elderly, gray-haired father and mothers of Zion. This new generation of people will be composed of believers, both young and old, ordinary Christians who lay hold of God, all they cry is for God. You know, even us, okay? The senior, okay? The middle. God renews. And it's coming revival. So a whole new realm of ministry, power, and anointing is about to come forth. Sacred revival fire, accompanied by a greater glory of God. These are people God will use in the end time revival. It will not be anymore like in the old days, that the glory will be given to men, much exaltation to men. Even, you know what? They named the revival to the name of man. That is why this intensity is increasing, because no name, okay, of man will be exalted. Because the glory will be given to God and God alone. This generation of people that God will use in this revival will be dead to the praises of men. They hated the praises of men because they have been dead to it. They run if people praises them. They will weep and cry for those who praises them. Do you know why? Because all they care about is Messiah Jesus. They are not after the approval of men. They are not after competition. They are not after the accomplishments or positions. They are not after even money. They don't care if God blesses them or not. They will serve God no matter what it takes. They are totally sold out to Jesus. They are not after fame, glory, or popularity. They are men and women of purity, love, holiness, and integrity. And the fear of God is ruling their hearts. They want God alone. Why? Because they are so dead. They are so dead. They are so dead that what kept them alive is Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that. We are just living for the glory of God and Jesus Messiah. That is why this revival is so great, because it is the Holy Spirit of Messiah who is taking hold and directing these men and women. They know the time of the latter rain because they hear. They hear the drops of rain coming. They see the raindrops falling upon the earth. But my question is, do you know? Do you hear? Do you see the need for revival? In many instances, the prophet in the Old Testament, they weep, they cry out loud, not for the sins of the world, but for the sins of Israel. For the sins of the church. There is sin in the camp. There is sin in the church. There is sin in the body of Christ. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel. Behold, I will do a new thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that hear it, it shall tingle." This new thing was going on, was going to amaze and startle all who heard it. Yet, what was it? It was the judgment. First, it was the judgment of God on the old, corrupt, backslidden, perverted religious system. But second is, and the preparation and the training and the raising up and the anointing and pouring out of God's Spirit in a multiple way upon those new breed of holy remnant or generation of people. These are the last generation. They are birthed in prayer and intercession and in seeking, crying, hungering, and soaking in God. They are so desperate for God. These are saints whom God will use in the last days revival. I believe God is going to use His holy remnant in these last days to stir multitudes, to revive even pastors, and awaken churches that will cause a great awakening, a great harvest of souls that we have never seen before in the face of the earth. These people or remnants will turn the hearts of the people back to God. bringing them repentance, humility, and brokenness before God, bringing them back to their first love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Sukkot revival will result to repentance, humility, and brokenness before God. Restoration of our relationship to God and men. Reconciliation, restitution, unity of the body of Christ. Total deadness to the world and to sin, which will result to transformation of the image of Jesus Christ and the union of the church to Christ. You know what is union? Being one with the Lord, in oneness with God, being married to the Lord. That will lead us to have insatiable hunger, a hunger that never stops, a hunger that is increasing, a hunger for God, more and more of Jesus. And this insatiable hunger, it will result to divine desperation. You will be so desperate for God. You can't live anymore without Jesus. You talk Jesus. You wake up Jesus. You walk Jesus. You do everything Jesus. You eat Jesus. I don't mean you eat Jesus while you are eating. You are aware of Jesus. You drink Jesus. Whatever you do, you do it Jesus. You cannot live without Him anymore.
Amen.
You are just so desperate for Him. You are just so in love for Him. Amen. This divine desperation for God. You know what that divine desperation will do to us? This divine desperation will result to divine visitation of God upon us and upon our church, upon our nation, upon our city, upon our family. It will result to revival fire. Hallelujah. A great awakening. A great harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. But those who resist the wave of this revival will fall under judgment of God. They will be hardened and turned to bitterness and will totally fall away. In closing, remember, there are only two things that will happen in the last days. The great revival and the great falling away. Now my question is, are you part of the great revival?
Yes.
Or are you part of the great falling away? In 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What a wonderful day. Amen. Saints.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to continue?
Yes, saints. I just want my desire, you know. I told the Lord Jesus last Sunday while I was praying, Sunday morning. We are praying for revival, Jesus. We are praying for awakening. But I told Him, you know what? I don't know, I'm so much in love with You. I love You more than miracles, more than signs and wonders. I love You more than the revival. I love You more than the awakening. I just want You. But if this is where You're leading me, so be it, I said. But I want to tell You, I want You. I love You, I want You, I love You, I love You, I love You. I just can't help this, I said. I just love You. The key is not our talents. It's not what we know. The key is not the excitement. The gaze our love for God. When you love God, you will not even fear, even death. You will have no fear. We have been through a lot, me and my husband. There were two guys that, with guns, that shot him 3 times. I thought he's already dead or full of blood. And he was surprised, he's not dead. He's not even bleeding. No bullets came out of the guns. And those two guys just flee. I'm telling you this because you will see and know what your love for God can do and what the God of love can do for you. He created us for fellowship. He created us for love. Now I'm asking you now to settle our case before God. Okay? If God is touching us and telling us and has spoken to us concerning our love for you, I'm asking you to make your own altar here. Or if you want that love to increase more, make an altar here. Tell him, Lord, I love you more than this. I love you more than this. Whatever thought is always in your mind, aside from Christ, is an enemy of Christ. So always think about him. Talk to him. I know God will come today. Amen.
Amen.
Greatest power is the love of God. Okay, as our brother is singing, just make your own offer. Pastor? Thank you.